Welcome to the Social Podcast, where no discussion or debate is off limits.
Hello and welcome. Mel and Cynthia are off today, but joining us are television host Aaliyah Jasmine. Hi, Aaliyah. Welcome back.
Hey, Jess. Thanks for having me again.
And back by popular demand, our friend, our very good friend, Candy Palmiter. Welcome, Candy.
Hey there. Happy to be here just in time for the Olympics.
Well, Candy, thanks for giving me a segue because, yes, ready or not, the Tokyo Summer Games are underway. The opening ceremony is on Friday, but the games have already kicked off. Will you be watching? And if so, what are you most excited to see?
Oh my gosh, I'm most excited for everything. I love the Olympics. This year, there's some new things coming in that are going to be exciting. Karate is new. Sport climbing, which I'm not as excited about because I feel like climbing is more spiritual. Surfing is in, and there's a sad note on that because Catherine Diaz from El Salvador, who was a great hopeful, just died in the qualifiers at 22 years old. She got hit by lightning while training. So that's a bit of a sad note. Softball and baseball is back, and Canada has already drawn first blood. The Canadian women won their softball tournament early this morning against Mexico for Zippo. The other thing I'm really, really excited about is on Friday, archery starts, and Canada has two people, a man and a woman. The woman, it's really exciting. She's 42 years old, and this is her very first Olympics. Stephanie Barrett is her name. And the gentleman I was fortunate enough to interview before, his name is Crispin Duenez. This will be his fourth Olympics. And when I interviewed him, he's a very Renaissance man. He teaches high school physics. He plays multiple instruments. When I said to him, how can you tell people how exciting archery is? Here's how he described it to me. He said, you take a 10-pound dumbbell in this hand and hold it straight out. You take a 50-pound dumbbell in this hand to hold here because it's 50 pounds of pressure he needs on that bow. And you imagine you're aiming at something that is the size of a CD, 3/4 of a football field away. So you have 1 degree of mistake and that's it. So it's going to be exciting to see these two Canadians compete. And then, of course, I'm looking forward to beach volleyball. That's always my favorite sport. But this year, there's a bit of controversy, just like there was when beach volleyball first came in, because the Norwegian handball team, the women are complaining about their costumes. Look at their uniforms. They are like all skin, and the men are all covered up. Same thing with beach volleyball. And I mean, when I used to play sports, if I had to wear those bottoms, I would have frontal plumber's crack. I mean, that is ridiculous. It's an aggressive sport. Right? It's just absolutely ridiculous.
He'd be fiddling around the whole time trying to pull stuff out. It wouldn't be right.
Yes.
I've got to say, when I saw the Norwegian beach handball team decide to wear shorts instead of those bikini bottoms and they got fined and they were fine with being fined, I was like, go Norway, and also Googling rules of beach handball, because that's the thing with the Olympics, at least for me. Candy, you've been doing this every 4 years, every 2 years with gusto and with passion. For me, I'm embarrassed to say, but sometimes I need a bit of a story. And sports do contain, not to get too poetic, but like the entire arc of human emotions. That's why I love sports movies so much. And so as soon as this Norway story came out, I was like, yes, yes, I want to watch Norway.
Here's another story for you as a woman, because in gymnastics, women have been getting younger and younger and younger over the last 4 decades. But this year, the strongest team, the American team, has 4 full-grown adult women, women over the age of 18 competing. Of course, the queen of it all, Simone Biles, is 24 years old. So there's going to be lots of great stories.
She's ancient, Candy.
Game.
She's ancient.
In Olympic gymnastics, she is.
I agree with you. I'm obsessed with Simone Biles. I can't wait to see her compete. But, you know, just to go back to you and looking for stories, compelling stories, I'm with you. I mean, I love sport. I love the Olympics like Candy. I love the display of athleticism, of course, but I also love the storylines and sometimes the gossipy storylines and the drama. And when people train so committedly and then when they compete so fiercely, you're bound to have conflicting personalities and rivalries, and it's played out on the grandest stage, the Olympics. I will never forget 2016 in the pool, or out of the pool in this moment, Michael Phelps versus Chad Leclo of South Africa. They were rivals. Chad was talking trash, so much trash about Michael Phelps. And then in the warm-up room, they were like, it was Animal Kingdom, guys. They were, you know, Chad was like stalking around Michael, and Michael had his headphones on and he had his game face on and he was prepping, and Chad was stalking him, like flexing and trying to throw him off his game. Oh, look at God. Michael's face.
Look
at Michael's face. This face went around the world. People started memeing it immediately on Twitter. You know how people react. It got memed for a long time, and everybody was like, oh, Michael's mad. And you don't want to piss off a Michael Phelps in the pool. Guess what happened? Chad Leclo lost to Michael Phelps in that race. But that's the kind of thing that I live for. Those rivalries, that kind of petty posturing. Jess, this is what you're in for the Olympics.
Yeah, don't poke the shark, right? And you know what? I will say, in addition to like the individual human stories, I think the other thing about the Olympics that I also find fascinating that's not as much about the sport is actually the historical element of the Olympics, right? And how the pandemic this year could change the games. I mean, beyond the fact that, you know, the athletes have to put the medals around their own necks, I think when you look back at the Olympics and like how they've played out through different monumental moments, you know, banning South Africa in response to their apartheid policies, or that, you remember that iconic image of the black athletes raising their gloved fists on the podium, right? Which I think was the 68 Olympics. So how the Olympics mirror society, human society, I'm really interested to see how this year will be reflected in the games. And you know, if I had to choose one athlete as well, just to like jump on my fangirl bandwagon, I'm going to say that I am following Canada's Andre de Grasse. I actually interviewed him a few times before when I was working for Fox Sports here in LA. He's a fellow Canadian living in LA, also went to the University of Southern California with me. And I just think his story is incredible. So he will be the guy that I will be watching in the sprint. And the track and field and sprint, yeah, are always fun to watch.
Yeah, and totally. Especially since like Andre de Grasse had such a, you know, like that was when all of us heard of him, right? In Rio in 2016, yes. AJ. And you know, similarly, Penny Oleksiak came out of nowhere, right? Like everybody knew she had the potential, but in 2016, Penny was a Canadian swimmer, but not like on the world scene in the pool. And like in that 100 meter, she came like on like people like in the, on the world stage, she came out of nowhere, and people were like, "Whoa, who is this speed demon in the pool?" But now, 4 or 5 years later, Penny is like, she's got a target on her back. Everybody wants to be Penny. So how do you go from the newcomer at the games, no pressure in Rio, to going into Tokyo with a whole country knowing who you are? And having to, like, you know, the pressure to repeat. Those are the human interest stories, as you're saying, AJ, and you, Jess, like, following storylines, that it's more than just sport. It's about, like, the humanity of having to, like, deliver in those moments.
And also just, yeah, like, absolutely. Who's winning? Because, like, right now I want to know, is our women's soccer team, are they winning right now? Someone let me know. But we can talk about that after. I'll come back with a live.
We may not want to spoil it, though. There are people viewers who don't want the results spoiled. So, yeah, let's...
Fair.
True enough. And it is so sad that this year, you know, you train your whole life for the Olympics. They won't hear the roar of the crowd, but that's how it goes. And we're going to stick with sports now, but we're changing topics a little bit. Moving over to tennis. Tennis star Naomi Osaka has got herself a new opponent, but it's not on the court. She took to Twitter to call out Megyn Kelly because she thought Megyn Kelly should do better after the conservative TV host said that, you know, she's appearing in magazines. Osaka's appearing in magazines after not giving interviews at the French Open because of her mental health issues. So what do you think about this, friends? Does Megyn Kelly have a point, or should she mind her business?
You know what? I'm just going to say it. I am not surprised. I am I'm not surprised at all about Megyn Kelly's response, because it's Megyn Kelly. I mean, she has become known by her sensational storytelling, which is guised as journalism while she was on Fox News. You know, she's was the queen of clickbait, you know, to anyone's expense, as long as it was to keep herself relevant instead of actually keeping her head down as a good journalist. I mean, I have a lot of thoughts about Megyn Kelly, but I will say this, you know, this is also a woman who got pulled off of NBC very shortly after she got her own show, after NBC spent a ton of money to get her own show because of her racist remarks. So this is a woman who's also had a track record in criticizing women of color. I'm disappointed for reading these comments, you know, in the public sphere, but I am not surprised at all that Megyn Kelly would make these comments. I'm just not.
Do you think that, guys, I got to ask, do you think Megyn Kelly is sort of trolling us? Like, and we're doing, Lainey brought this up. This story, when I read it, it depressed me. I was so saddened by it. Like, I had a rock in my stomach after reading about it. And Lainey actually articulated it really well this morning. Like, the idea of, like, this is exactly what Megyn Kelly, I think, intended. We weren't talking about Megyn Kelly a week ago, but we are now, you know? And it makes me feel kind of dirty.
I agree with Lainey. Like, this is what I'm saying, is I feel like she just says stuff for clickbait. Her major agenda with her storytelling as a journalist is to keep her name in her headlines and in everyone else's headlines. And so I agree with you. I believe Megyn Kelly is trolling all of us.
I love that you put the air quotes for journalist, because I mean, she is so not a journalist that she would criticize Oprah for her interview style. For me as a lawyer, I'm always embarrassed that Megyn Kelly and Nancy Grace are lawyers. I mean, when you hear them talk, it's like they're writing a Harlequin romance. It's, you know, did you see the way that guy looked? As lawyers, we know better. We know that that has nothing to do with a person's guilt or innocence. But the two of them just go on like they are writing a Harlequin romance. And it embarrasses me on behalf of everybody with a law degree.
Totally. And you know what? She even said, Megyn Kelly, even like one of her tweets was something like, Naomi's only tough on the court. And she said it as if it was like a dig at her. And it's like, duh. She said that herself. She said that she needed time for her mental health. She wants to concentrate on being tough on the court.
It's so she, like, point. It's like she's always wanting to find, like, have a gotcha moment. You know what I mean? Like this gotcha moment, like I showed you. And the language she uses, it wasn't just with Naomi yesterday. She was trolling any defender of Naomi as well, with language that was really reminiscent of someone that we used to talk about a lot more, but like phony. And what was another one? Poor Naomi. You know what I mean? Like that reminds me of something. It's not only of the bully on the schoolyard, but the former president of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a comment here from Marilyn on Facebook. A lot of our viewers are weighing in. And Marilyn writes, I don't think Megyn has the right to criticize. Mental health is so important. And it is with attitudes like hers that people don't mention they have problems. Thank you, Marilyn, for bringing this up, because all of this, Megyn's trolling and her version of journalism, it's taking away from the actual reason why Naomi stepped back, which is because she has anxiety, she has mental health issues, and that really should be the focus of the conversation. But, you know, with this kind of trolling, Jess, as you mentioned, we talked about it in the morning, it becomes then a distraction from what the real conversation should be, which is mental health and the mental health of athletes and whether or not the sport is set up for many of them to have success, both on and off the court. And instead, the focus is on this issue of privacy and athletes and talking to the media and whether or not they should make themselves available for the media. And so we're losing the real crux of the conversation because the Megyn Kellys get to muck up this water. And in a sense, we're kind of all participating in it because we're paying attention. So this is what's complicated about social media and about our part that we play.
And, you know, there is always the option of not engaging, which is easier said than done.
I have a question for all of you. How much do you really like living with your partner? According to the New York Times, older adults, especially women, are increasingly choosing to live separately from their romantic partners. Would you try this?
Well, let's go first to Lisa on Facebook. I heard the term A-partners several years ago and thought this was brilliant. Relationships are not a one-size-fit-all, and everyone is different. Some people prefer to have their own time and space, but still want the intimacy and companionship of a relationship. Love this comment, Lisa, and I have to say, right now, I'm loving the intimacy of my relationship. We're new first-time homeowners, so I think that really helps with the intimacy and the love that we're feeling. But I will say this. Simon and I will go for a bike ride in and around Hamilton, and there are all these little 100-year-old, sometimes 125-year-old little what would have been workman cottages, and they're tiny, teeny, teeny, tiny, and they don't have basements. And I dream about one day getting to being lucky enough to have two side by side and building a secret passageway. Do you know what I mean? And then it's like, oh, do you want to come for dinner? Oh my God, who's going to cook tonight? You or me? Do you want to sleep over? I think that's great. I mean, it's also a huge privilege because you got to have enough money to maintain two households.
But I completely agree. Denise and I have been together 20 years, but at the 1.5 year mark, I floated the idea of buying a duplex and her living in one side and me living in the other. And she didn't go for it back then. Flash forward 20 years, we've had our huge houses. Now we're stuck in a small apartment here in Toronto. We've moved into separate rooms, and it's fabulous. Her room is all green and it has driftwood and rocks and stuff that would drive me crazy. And my room is full of fluffy, beautiful things that would drive her crazy. And it's exactly, you can invite one another over to your rooms, but having separate living space, I think, would make the relationship go much, much further. I mean, we don't have a conventional relationship. We have like an open marriage, but yeah. Get your own space, man. Get your own space.
As much as I love the few minutes after Mike gets out of bed and goes to work and I have the full king size bed to myself and I just like starfish down the middle of it, I don't know. I don't know if I could actually do this. I feel like part of, you know, finding somebody and then like the anticipation of growing old with them is the idea that you will be cared for by someone you trust and love, and that you will care for somebody that you trust and love, right? So I don't know. I mean, in theory, I think the idea of having like the two separate hotel rooms with the adjoining door sounds so awesome and very like Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. You know, I love like that idea. But I don't know. I think it kind of makes me sad a little bit to think of not growing old with, if you're lucky enough to have found that person, not growing old mm-hmm. in tandem with them.
You're still in tandem, though.
Well, I mean,
you're
it
just
depends.
Not under the same roof.
It depends
yeah, especially
on the
with
couple,
the secret
too.
Passageway.
It depends on the couple, too. Like, I mean, for this, you know, what they were saying in the New York Times, they call these LAT relationships, L-A-T, living apart together. And they say that it's more attractive to people from a certain socioeconomic background, as in an elevated socioeconomic
right.
background. So my mind immediately went to celebrities. And there are, like, two celebrities who are making headlines, like, big time right now. That would be Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez, because they're back together. And lately, she's been mansion hunting in LA, and he's been seen with her mansion hunting. And so the whole, like, the gossip headlines are like, they're moving in together. They're like looking at a $65 million mansion, but she's the one who's looking, like, you know, the reports are that she's going to be the one who pays for it. And so I wonder if you are in that socioeconomic bracket, if you are Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez, you've come out of your own relationships, divorces, you have children, and you have a living arrangement with your exes, with those kids, and you are in love, it actually might be cleaner and more mm-hmm. tidy to maintain separate mansions.
Yes.
To maintain separate mansions.
It's really interesting, Lane. Part of this story was the idea that a lot of women who are older, and if they either divorce in older age or they lose their partner, that they almost sometimes prefer being on their own because they don't need to sort of take care of someone, that day-to-day of women, you know, tending to clean up, do the majority of the cleaning up, the cooking and the cleaning and so on, and taking care of the household. They're kind of done with that. So I can understand why people would want to live alone. My mom lost her partner a couple of years ago now, and she was his caregiver, and she was a caregiver who also had a disability. So it was trying on her. And, you know, there were parts, there were times where we were actually concerned that it was killing her. And so while, of course, she mourns her partner's death, I don't want to speak for her, but I don't think she's ever been happier being alone.
Oh, interesting.
If you're a woman with a big dominant personality like I am, my ex and I were together for 12 years. He was a man. We were never under the same roof together. And it worked out perfectly because at the end of the night, after I was out with my girls, when I wanted him to come over, he would come over. And then when I wanted him to be gone, he would be gone so that I could still be me in my space, not have to deal with, you know, toilet seats being left up and all those other things. So I just think it really, when you have a personality that's really big, and if you're two people with a big personality, it works great. And listen, I come from a dirt poor background, so I'm definitely not coming from a place of privilege wanting that. My parents slept in two separate rooms as well. And they got along.
I have to say though, AJ, in terms of like, because I'm not Jennifer Lopez, I'm with you. Like, Jacek takes care of everything around the house, including security. That's another thing. Like, it's sometimes scary to be alone. Like, you know, if I hear sounds, I'm not the one going downstairs with the golf club, you know, ready to, I'm sending him down. So I definitely am, I don't have J-Lo's bodyguard. So for me, in my non-socioeconomically elevated status, I do not want to live separately. Just want to put that out there.
Subscribe to The Social Podcast so you don't miss a fiery debate. Until next time, socialites.